friends, as we continue our worship celebration this morning, I invite you to hear these words from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning in the 4th verse. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," would that not make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Or do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Please rise now as you're able and join in singing with me, "Jesu, Jesu," found on page 432 in the red hymnal. Remain standing for the reading from the Gospel of John, taken from the 13th chapter, beginning in the 14th verse. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be.
Let us pray. All we need is you, Jesus. All we need is you. Because in you we find the fullness of God's love. We come into this world embraced by you. We grow up in this world learning to follow you. And at the end of our days, you embrace us again. All we need is you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Word of God, embodied at the beginning of all that is, embodied in Jesus, who walked as our friend and brother. And the word that is spoken. Now, gracious God, open us to receive again your word. I pray it in the power of your name. Amen. Before I share with you the prepared reflection I have for us today, I have to say that it does occur to me that on this day when we lift up and celebrate service and hear that powerful image that Pastor Will read for us from the first letter of the Corinthians about all the gifts of the body of Christ, I would be remiss if at this service I didn't do what I should have done at the earlier service, which is to publicly give thanks to God for the gifts of Foundry's staff and clergy, staff in particular, for the ways in which they have been so faithfully and lovingly laboring among all of you over this past week and in the days just prior to Tom's death. So I simply want to give thanks to God for the gifts that are held and exhibited and offered by our extraordinary clergy team and staff team, and I know they have felt supported by the gifts that you have offered them. So Pastor Will, wherever he went, Pastor Don, Pastor Ben, who is skiing somewhere, I think. God bless him. And all of our staff, I just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whew. And now I've got myself together a little more, too, so that's good. Well done. Several weeks ago, I read David Frum's article in The Atlantic entitled, How to Build an Autocracy. It's quite a piece of writing with a great deal to ponder. The thing that stuck with me is a quote that Frum mentions in the piece, which is, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And Frum says that when the early Americans wrote things like that, they did not do so to provide bromides for the future bumper stickers of America. They lived in a world in which authoritarian rule was the norm. in which rulers habitually claimed the powers and assets of the state as their own personal property. And Fromm goes on to make the case that guarding against autocracy requires active engagement by an American public that cares about our democracy and the habits and conventions that sustain it. In other words, we contribute, my friends, to whatever future unfolds in our nation, precisely through our engagement or through our disengagement. It's been suggested recently that we, that is the American public, don't care. That we don't care. I disagree in principle, but I understand how it might appear to be true. Over the past several months, part of my personal confession is that for much of my life, I have not been as vigilant and engaged in civic life as I ought to have been. In every administration, even those I've generally supported, there have been issues and actions that cried out for active, organized, sacred resistance. And while I have voted regularly and tried to set priorities for my daily living that are moral and just and neighborly and faithful, I know that there have been times when I have been lukewarm, when I should have been on fire. In other words, I'm among those who find themselves now feeling both culpable for the sorry state of our current democracy and newly engaged and energized. But you know, it's easy enough to lurk around the edges of community, whether that community is our neighborhood or our city or our country or our church. To lurk around the edges and to pick up pieces of information without trying to get the whole story. To lurk around the edges and to only use what serves us and to complain about what doesn't. It is commonplace for us in our busyness to become complacent and distracted until something happens to disrupt our own lives or something that provokes our moral outrage to the point of action. But the truth is that we are responsible for our communal life all the time. We can't control everything, of course, but our engagement matters. And friends, this is not just a civics lesson, by the way. This is a profound Christian lesson. For those of us who claim to be students of Jesus, followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, this should not be news. It should be obvious. We are called to action. We are called to engagement. We are called to service. We are called to serve by using the gifts that we have. We are called to serve without expecting a reward. We are called to serve others for the common good. We are called to serve together with others who have different complementary gifts. This is the example set by Jesus, and it's the vision laid out by Paul in his letter to the church that he had founded. But the metaphor that Paul uses in today's letter that we heard is not, by the way, a celebration of how the people in the church in Corinth were being the body of Christ and working together and all the gifts complementing each other and living without dissension and in harmony. Just the opposite. Paul had received reports that his beloved church were at each other's throats. There was conflict and dissension. And at the heart of that conflict, they were arguing over which gifts were more valuable than others. You are more valuable than you. You are more valuable than me. Now, in the time in which this letter was written, and in the place in Corinth, which was a bustling urban center, ethnically, culturally, religiously diverse, in that place and time, and in the rhetoric of that time, this metaphor, this image of the body would have been common. But that metaphor would have been used as a way to differentiate and solidify differences in value. It would have been used to say, the head is more valuable than the elbow. But Paul takes that same image, that same metaphor, and flips it around and says, no, no, no. The body's parts are all equally valued, equally important. The body is not only full of members with value, but the ones that others might think are less than, perhaps because of the overwhelming cultural prejudice, Christians are supposed to give more honor to those parts that others would discount altogether. Paul teaches us to celebrate the contributions of every member of the body, to rejoice with each other, to suffer with each other. In other words, Paul reminds us that the church is called to be prophetic, to be counter-cultural, to witness to an alternative way of being in relationship and in community. And that way is not about power games over which gifts, which talents, which people are more valuable than others. That way of being in community recognizes the beauty and value and dignity of every member of the body, a way that engages each person and ignites each gift so that all might be offered in service to God's world. I want you to imagine, if you will, the conversation that might have taken place between Jesus and the archangel Gabriel after Jesus ascended and went back to heaven. Jesus arrives, and Gabriel says, "You mean your whole plan to save the world depends on that ragtag bunch of followers you left behind?" Jesus. "That's right. Gabriel. But what if they fail? What's your backup plan?" Jesus. "There is no backup plan. Now you are the body of Christ. And individually, you're members of it. You are the body of Christ. You have a gift to share that no one else can offer in the same way you can. If you're checked out, then there is a gaping hole where your particular presence and contribution belongs. Our mission at Foundry Church is what? I hope you know it, to say it with me. To love God, to love each other, and to change the world." Friends, that vision is not a vision in which the professional Christians, Dawn, Michael, that is not a vision in which the professional Christians love God, love each other, and change the world on your behalf. ones who can preach and pray. The staff aren't the only ones who can lead and have vision and organize. As pastor and church consultant Bill Easom says, never hire staff to do ministry. Never hire staff to do ministry. And what he means is that pastors and staff in healthy, growing congregations are hired not to do the ministry, but rather to equip the saints for the work of ministry so that the body of Christ is built up. Tom and I used to talk about that in his work in youth and family ministries. I said, work your way out of a job, Tom. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. Jesus prepared disciples and followers for works of service, equipped others to do what he did, and then left the work in our hands. Our vision at Foundry is to be a community of servant leaders, both laity and clergy, paid and unpaid, in which each and every one of us give and share and live and serve and pray and care together as the Spirit leads us. Now, there may be folks in this space today who are feeling overwhelmed or inadequate or uncertain about what gift you would have to offer. And I want to encourage you to talk to somebody you trust about that. Ask them. I bet they could tell you. Pray about it. I also imagine that there are others in this space who truly think that what we're talking about today has absolutely nothing to do with you. And you're perfectly able to have that opinion. Think it if you want to. And there are other folks that are in this space today, I imagine, who feel like nothing you could offer the church or the world would make any possible difference. And to that, I simply say it is not true. It is simply not true. Your gift matters, your life matters, your engagement matters, you make a difference. I returned yesterday evening from the women's retreat, and one of the recurring themes in conversation is that there are simply too many challenges to address and resist right now. Too much. We don't know where to start. We don't know what to do. Well, the first place I would send you is to www.foundryumc.org/resist. Do something or do nothing. But the fact of the matter is that either way, you're making a difference. Earlier this month, I shared this poem, which I'll share now. You say, the little efforts that I make will do no good, that they never will prevail to tip the hovering scale where justice hangs in the balance. I don't think I ever thought they would, but I am prejudiced beyond debate in favor of my right to choose which side shall feel the stubborn ounces of my weight. I am prejudiced beyond debate in favor of my right to choose which side shall feel the stubborn ounces of my weight. Who or what is feeling the stubborn ounces of your weight? You change the world by your engagement or disengagement. You change the world by sharing your gifts or withholding them. And you have a right to choose. But friends, there is urgency about the decisions that you make. If we've learned anything in this last week, we know that we don't necessarily have a long time. We can get busy living. And what's the alternative? Or get busy dying. This is the moment. There's urgency in our choosing. And as our guru Jim Harnish writes, there are children who may never hear the stories of Jesus if people with the gift of teaching do not teach them. There are lost and confused, spiritually searching people who may never experience God's love unless people with the gift of evangelism share the good news with them. There are adults who may never grow in their understanding of Scripture until someone with the gift of discernment guides them. There are people who may never find their way into a community like this one until people with the gift of hospitality welcome them. There are people with broken hearts and broken lives who may never find healing until people with the gift of intercession pray for them. There are new opportunities for ministries that may never be accomplished unless people with the gift of leadership show others the way. There are lonely, isolated people who may never find their way into Christian community until people with the gift of mercy extend care to them. There are important issues of justice and peace that will never be confronted until people with the gift of prophecy confront them. In short, God has work to be done in this world that will not get done until we, you and I, offer the stubborn ounces of our weight to make it happen. Now you are the body of Christ. 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 The embodiment of Christ is love, embodied through humble service. So let's do it.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Friends, your giving supports the growing adult formation and education here at Foundry. Sign-ups for new and ongoing classes are located in the community commons. As our ushers come forward, we thank you for your generosity.